welcome to the USCA's official podcast. Joining me today is Caitlin Silliman, who with her mare Catch a Star finished 24th at the Rolex Kentucky three-day event last weekend. Caitlin, welcome to the USCA's official podcast and congratulations on your Rolex ride there last weekend.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
Well, it really was a super round. I think everybody will remember you with that lovely mare, that grey mare, Catch a Star, and, you know, blazing around that cross country, just absolutely eating up the ground. But she has obviously a far more interesting story than most horses leading up to that competition. Let's remind everybody of how you met this horse and what she's been through in that lead up to Rolex.
All right. I got her in the summer of 2010, and I had a young horse at the time that I had sort of decided with Boyd that I needed to sell. We figured that she maybe wasn't going to be an upper-level horse and might see a young rider, preliminary intermediate level, a bit better. So we decided we were going to sell her, and I needed to sell her before I started looking for anything else. And I rode down to the indoor at True Prospect one day, and Jenny Brannigan was riding this beautiful gray mare around, and she's a unique mover, and she's just got a different look to her. And I saw her, and I know it sounds silly, but it was love at first sight, and I had to have her. I became obsessed with her, but I knew I didn't want to try her because I knew that I had to sell the young horse first. So luckily, all things went my way, and I sold my young horse to a lovely young rider like 2 weeks later, and I tried the mare the next day, and she's mine within a week.
Well, that was pretty impressive then. It was definitely a combination that was meant to be.
It was.
And what was she like then when you first rode her? What attracted you to her?
Just her style. She looks like a little whippet. Like, she's very athletic looking. She looks like a thoroughbred, but she does have that warm blood in her, so she has the fancy movement, and she's a little bit of an unorthodox style jumper, but she's got a great style cross country. If you saw my video at Rolex, she sort of runs with her head straight up in the air, which makes it lovely to ride around because you never really have to touch her mouth, and she's, you know, you walk courses with professionals and they say, okay, here you're going to sit the horse back and set them up on her hocks, but because she runs with her nose up and out, she's always set up for the jumps, and she has this little tiny spook in her, like a clever one, that when you ride into a combination or come up to a big jump, she sort of just looks at it just enough that she sits herself back and you can sort of just keep squeezing her down to it. So she's a very fast horse to ride and really easy to jump.
Well, it really was impressive that, you know, despite that little error on the cross-country course, the little blip where we're going to talk about, you did still finish 24th at Rolex with her. So I want to remind everybody about how you joined Boyd, because you've been with Boyd a little while. You've been through some ups and downs with him. You started as a working pupil. Have you been promoted to a higher status now that you've ridden Rolex?
Mm-hmm. I have. Well, no, I think I'm the same status there. I've been an employee of them for a long time now, and I am the assistant trainer and rider for Boyd, which is pretty special. We have a great team here, and we have a good team of working students, and Boyd's groom, Lindsay, is fabulous, and we all work really well together. So we have a really good group. I hope it stays like this for a while. I know all big barns, the working students sort of come in and out, but we do have a great group of kids right now, so it's fun to come to work every day.
So you've worked your way up the ranks, so to speak, then, because you started as a working student, didn't you?
I did. I started as a working student. I actually started, I had an event horse, and I jumped with Philip a bit, and I was starting to jump with Boyd, and I wanted to take some flat lessons from Boyd's wife, Silva, because she specializes in the dressage. And I had a horse that didn't really go on the bit, and I was a terrible rider on the flat. And I brought him to her, and she said, okay, I think I got to ride him for 2 weeks straight, and then I'll start teaching you on him and see if I can sort him out a little bit. And I couldn't really afford to send the horse in training with her for 2 weeks, so I said, is there any way we can work out a deal? She was new to the country, and Boyd was still working for Philip, so she was just starting her own dressage thing, breaking away. I think she even worked for Philip for a couple months, but she was renting the barn that burnt down at True Prospect, and she had a couple horses up there, a couple of her dressage horses, and didn't have any groom yet. And I said, well, is there any way I can work off the rides on him, work off the training, and she very nicely worked out a deal with me. So I worked for her for those 2 weeks and went to a dressage show with her and groomed for her there. And at the end of the 2 weeks, she said, "What are you doing next year? Are you going to go to school or would you be interested in staying?" And that was that. So I started on as a working student, and, you know, throughout the 5 years I've been with him, I've worked my way up.
Well, it's a great story. Now, do you have a background? Does your family have a background in horses? Did you inherit this gene?
I did. My grandmother always had horses. Now, she never rode competitively, but she had horses growing up and always rode and sort of, you know, it's the riding that every little girl dreams of. She rode out through the fields and played cowboys and Indians and jumped whatever stood in her way kind of thing. And then my mom rode a bit as a kid, too. She grew up in the Unionville, Malvern area and grew up going and watching Bruce Davidson's event at Chesterland and, you know, going to the Devon Horse Show. And so she never rode competitively either, but she always had the horse bug. She took some lessons and spent a lot of time around horses. And then for my 6th birthday, my parents got me 6 riding lessons. And at the time, we lived next door to a woman who boarded a horse at Radnor Hunt with Susie Beale. So that's where my mom booked in the lessons. And I rode with Susie from when I was 6 years old until I was 16.
And how old are you now?
I just turned 23 on the Sunday of Rolex. So I've been asking everyone, does it count? Did I do my first four-star when I was 22 or 23?
What a memorable event for you to have a birthday on. Let's talk about Rolex, because you came to your first four-star event, obviously, having worked your way up the ladder, as you say, with Boyd, and got some really super rides. I mean, the quality of horses you've been riding obviously would be a wonderful leg up, no pun intended, to, you know, get into the four-star rank. So let's talk about that preparation, because as most people will know, that mare survived the fire that you mentioned. She was in the fire at the barn, and she carries the stars to this day, doesn't she?
She does. She is such a tough horse. She really is. I'm her biggest fan. I just have so much admiration for her and everything she's been through, and she's just a fighter. She never gives up, and I feel so lucky to ride a horse that, I mean, she just lives for her job. She lives to jump cross country. She comes to work every day. She never has a day where she doesn't really feel like doing dressage or doesn't really feel like jumping. She's a very hard worker, and she loves the sport.
Well, she clearly loved her way around, found her way and loved it going cross-country at Rolex this year. Let's talk about your preparation coming into this event, because it's one thing to prepare for a 3-star. It's quite something else to be going to a first 4-star. How was that?
It's good. It's nerve-wracking, because I've only done 1 3-star. So now Boyd is an expert, and he said that he was very confident that I'd be fine. So I had to sort of trust him the whole way, because most people try and do 2 3-stars, especially going to their first 4-star on a first-time 4-star horse. And as a first-time 4-star rider, it's ideal if you've gone around 2 CCI 3-stars. And I quickly went to Bromont last year, because she only started eventing after the fire. She did her first event at Southern Pines, and then we had to get her qualified, and we were able to qualify, and I took her to Bromont last June. And then I did a couple events with her in the summer. I think I took her out to Millbrook and did an intermediate, and then I did the 3-star at Richland Park and the 3-star at Plantation, and then I got hurt right after that. So she missed out on the whole fall, as did I. And then Rolex comes up so early, there's only a couple of events. So I did a prelim at Pine Top to just make sure after my head injury that I was feeling 100% out galloping. And then I took her advanced the next Pine Top, and then advanced the Southern Pines, and then the 3-star at the Fork, and then off you go. So you sort of just hope that every run you go out goes according to plan and it's confident and smooth and the horses are jumping well, because if you had a bad run, there's not that much time to recover. And then especially as an inexperienced pair, you really want to go into the event as confident as you can.
Yes, of course, people listening may well know about the fall that you had. Let's just remind everybody, because you did have a nasty little accident there, as you said, and a head injury too.
I did. It was a total freak accident. I mean, I rode around the 3-star and the 2-star which that's where you'd think if I was going to have a bad fall. That's where it happened at Plantation the weekend before, but it was the Tuesday after, and I was just riding a young horse in the dressage arena, rising trot, and she sort of spooked and tripped over and had a very just little light tumble. She was totally fine, and I went off the side, and we have a low edge on the side of our dressage arena, almost like a sandbox, but just a little bit taller, and it's a square edge, and I hit the back of my head on the edge of the arena just under my helmet. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure the helmet did something because it was pushed over my eye, so it could have been much worse. So it definitely took some of the force. But I fractured the back of my skull on the left side, right over my cerebellum. And then my brain swelled into the fracture, damaging a huge part of my cerebellum on the left side. So I lost all my motor skills, and it was a 3-month recovery process, but I feel 100% now, and I'm very fortunate that it wasn't any worse than it was.
Well, absolutely. Very lucky that it wasn't worse. You seem to be back to normal, obviously, and you were firing on all cylinders, as was the mayor at Rolex. And let's just talk through that competition coming into the dressage, obviously, with Boyd's help, always on the ground there for you to help you, and Silver as well. Talk about how that dressage test went for you, Caitlin. Did it go as you expected it? Was she really rideable going into it?
She was really, I actually thought she can be quite a hot horse, and she's certainly never been in an atmosphere like that. And she has never seen, a stadium like that. So going in, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if she would blow up in there, or if she'd get really tense and get unrideable. But she's been going so well at home, and Silva has been putting in so much time getting us ready for this test. I mean, we've been riding through the test since January, which I think makes a huge difference, just going through the canter movements every day, so the horse really knew where she was going in there and was confident about what movement was coming up next. But she and I are both still very green at the level, but she put in her best test yet. She didn't make any big mistakes. She did all the movements where they're supposed to be. She got all of her changes, and it was actually one of our best scores to date. So to be able to peak at Kentucky was pretty special. I mean, most people aren't able to have their horses perform their best performance to date at the big event.
Yes, and obviously, to pull off that kind of performance takes some steady nerve as well from you. Did you feel any butterflies going into that big stadium?
I did a little bit, but Silva and Boyd, too, are so good. I mean, they both have... ice runs through their veins when both of them go into the arena, and I hope one day I can be even just half the competitor that they are, and they thrive on pressure. So I try and take every cue from them and watch them ride every day and try and watch how they ride in the ring. And with a hot horse, the best way to calm a hot horse down is to ride forward. So I tried to just really ride the whole test and ride every movement and try not to leave, go for every point I could get. And, I was fortunate enough that she went really well, too, so I was able to really ride her forward and perform as best we could.
So what were your impressions of the course then before you actually set about it on Saturday?
I thought it was really big and really tough, but it was a beautiful course. There weren't any tricks. Like, the course designer didn't set anything up to really trick the horses. It was a big galloping course, and there were very tough questions, but it was the kind of course where if you were riding forward and you knew your lines and you knew the strides you were meant to get, it rode really well. And I think if you watched all the videos, the people who had the smoothest rounds were getting all the distances and riding forward and not pulling back, and they made it look easy, whereas people who had spooky horses or who were miscommunicating with their horses, they made it look quite tough. They, made it look more like a 4-star course, but the riders that rode forward and were covering the ground made it look quite easy.
Well, she set off obviously in top form, and you look to be going absolutely fabulous, and with a kind of panache of a very seasoned professional rider, and I think impressing a lot of people watching her go around. And then tell us about that backstretch. You were just cantering up that quite a little hill going up to the quarry, or the hollow, the Land Rover hollow as we call it now, and it's the furthest most part of the course at Rolex. So how was she feeling going up there, head up, and obviously about halfway around the course by now?
She felt great, and I think that I was in shock that she was going so well. I mean, I don't know with other riders, but as a first-time four-star rider and the horse being a first-time horse, she went around Bromont very well, but I had this feeling in the back of my mind. I've never felt her really tired, and 11 minutes 20 is a long time, so I was pretty sure that I was going to feel her tired at some point on that course, and I was hoping that I'd be able to help her as well as I could. And then I also had this feeling in the back of my mind, what if I set out and I jump the first couple jumps and she's going, you know, oh my goodness, these are a lot bigger than I expected. And I was worried that maybe she was going to feel maxed out, like the jumps were very tall and very wide. And I was worried that maybe she would struggle with, because, you know, at a three-star, the jumps are big and wide, but you have some more let-up fences and the questions don't hit you as hard and as often. So they can sort of, if you have a sticky jump somewhere, you can get your confidence back. And I was just worried that I was going to go out there and have her go, oh my goodness, I'm in over my head. And she went so well. I mean, she's making it so easy. She was staying on all the lines. She wasn't looking at the crowd. She was getting all the distances. Everything was riding to plan. She was jumping fantastically, galloping well. I mean, she's eating the course up. And the one thing Boy told me is at a four-star, it's a long way around, and the questions and combinations hit you hard the whole way. So you really have to keep your focus the whole way around. Don't ever look at the crowd. Stick to your plan. If you have a bad jump, get over it and, you know, keep riding. Stick to your plan. And I think I just had that small lapse of concentration. I had just gone through the double corners, and she's jumping so great, and she didn't feel tired at all. And I got up to the top of that long hill, and I think I just made my turn a little bit too short, and she took that deep breath, and I just surprised her. You know, it had nothing to do with her. And I was so mad at myself about it and frustrated, but in hindsight, as a learning experience, I hope to have this horse for a long time, and I hope she has many more four stars in her. And she taught me a really valuable lesson on Saturday. And had she saved me, or I was a little bit deep, so had she jumped and bumped a leg, maybe I would have come off. So in hindsight, it was a little bobble, but it was totally my fault, and I certainly learned a lot from it.
Well, the marvelous thing, I mean, about her fitness was that despite that stop, you were able to get back on track and come home inside the time.
Yeah, and easily. I mean, I remember galloping away from that question going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just had a stop. She was going so well. And, you know, your adrenaline's pumping, so I'm quickly trying to analyze in my head what happened. Was she scared? What did I do wrong? And there's a long gallop down to the next jump, and I realized, you know, it's my fault. She jumped back through the combination, no problem. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to throttle it back and really slow down because there's no point. But she was running so fresh and still jumping so well. And the next jump before the head of the lake is probably the biggest jump on the course. It's the big Rolex table with the wine barrels on it. So, you know, I sort of quickly went, okay, Caitlin, you got to get it together, focus, get back to the edge of the galloping lane. And I looked down at my watch, and I was still right on the time. And she felt so fresh, I just let her go her pace the rest of the way around. And she finished fresh as a daisy, and she was able to finish inside the time, you know, without trying, which hopefully, you know, makes me think that she will be quite a good four-star horse in the years to come.
Yes, definitely. Very, very impressive, despite that little hiccup. We're going to overlook that now because she was going so well. Now, take us through the next day. Coming out for the jog, how did she feel on Sunday morning?
She felt great. I trotted her up and, you know, touch wood, she looked like a million bucks. She didn't even look that tired. I did give her fluid Saturday night just to recharge her, and she came out very fresh Sunday morning. I gave her a little ride in the morning just to see what she would feel like, to see what I had for the show jumping, because the show jumping can be our trickier phase. When I bought her, she was stopping at the show jumps quite a bit, and that's why she was for sale. So I'm always a little bit nervous for the show jumping, and this was certainly the biggest track that we'd ever had to show jump around after, you know, the hardest Saturday she's ever had. So I was worried that, as you know, a combination of her being tired or being sore from the cross country the day before, I didn't know what was going to happen. But she came out Sunday and she felt really fresh. She had three down in the show jumping, but again, it's a bit of a learning curve with her. It was, you know, all the rails were mine. We're both have a bit of low confidence in the show jumping, so I tend to ride her a little bit more with her cross country style, a little bit longer rein and pretty forward, because that's how she jumps the most confident. And in the show jumping, that sort of puts me a little bit too deep to the front rail of the big square oxer sometimes, and that's why she has them down. But I think next year, if I can tone down the show jumping a notch, I have jumped clear rounds on her, and I think that she will be able to put in clear round next year.
Well, you can put it on your CV that you completed Rolex, your first 4-star event. So what next for her, Caitlin?
I think, she's out in the field right now enjoying lots of grass for a holiday for a couple of weeks. She'll probably have 4 weeks off and then hack, and then we'll get chipping away at that dressage test again to see how good we can get it for next year. And then I think I'll try and take her to Fair Hill in the fall, because as a local rider, I've never ridden at the Fair Hill 3-day in the fall. I missed it last year because of my head injury, and I missed it the year before because of the fire. So I'm actually looking forward to riding at the hometown event and hopefully get a good result at the 3-star and some more experience, and then we'll get ready for Kentucky again next year.
Well, meanwhile, there are other horses to ride, and again, some class rides for you to continue to learn this sport from some good schoolmasters there. Tell us about the immediate plans. You have an event this week, and then you're going to Jersey Fresh with some of Boyd's horses.
Yes, I'm going to MCTA this weekend with, I think I have three in the preliminary, three younger horses, but all very exciting prospects for the feast. For the future. And then on Sunday, I have two babies that are doing their very first event, two horses that Boyd actually bred in Australia, and they've flown over here. And I think they're also very exciting young prospects. They're only four. So I think Sunday will be quite a fun day taking them out for their first time. I am off to Jersey Fresh in a week with Remington, who I very fortunately have the ride on. He's got to do a CCI 2-star. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then I have riding one of Boyd's horses, Steady Eddie, in the CIC 2-star. So we have a busy couple of weeks coming up.
And what's on your list to do then in your career, Caitlin? Presumably whilst you're in professional hands, so to speak, the sky's the limit.
I've got a lot on the list. I've got big dreams. I would love to ride at every 4-star in the world. I know Adelaide's a little bit tricky for us to get to, so I'm not sure about that one, but every other one. And I'd love to ride on a team for the U.S., especially I think it'd be really cool to ride on a team with Boyd one day, which hopefully I will.
Well, terrific. Lots of exciting prospects there for the future for you, Caitlin. I want to thank you very much indeed for joining us today, and wish you the very best this spring and for the season to come.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and we'll see you guys at Rolex next year.
You can subscribe to the USEA's official podcast at iTunes and also download the files at the USEA's website at useventing.com. I'm Chris Stafford, and I'll be back with more exclusive interviews for the USEA's official podcast right here. So until the next time, enjoy your eventing.